Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. This is Humble and Hungry, and I'm your friend, Natalie Pouchet. Welcome back. We are back from our little week hiatus. I am still congested and I am still sick. I don't know what is happening with me, but we have so much to catch up on. Just got back from Mexico and just so much has happened. So let's just get right into it. Okay, so I am sitting in my car, which is now my new studio. I just brought all of my equipment in the car, and I think my mother-in-law thinks I'm probably going nuts. And side note, bless her soul, she is incredible. Handled Piper for 3.5-4 days with the help of my mom. Bless them both. I mean, I feel so freaking lucky to have help. And you know, help looks different for everybody, right? Some people pay for help. Some people are lucky enough to have, you know, family to help. But help nonetheless. And people that you know are going to take care of your house and your children and maybe your pets or whatever. And it's just like, and loving them the way that you would love them and making them feel safe and, you know, that the house isn't burnt down and just, all of it. I just feel so lucky to have them. And I was answering, I did like a whole Q&A while I was in Mexico, but someone asked why my mother-in-law is staying with us. And the reason is because she lives basically off grid and she lives in Oregon in the mountains. So the cool thing about her story is that her dad built the ski lodge where they're from. And it's just, it's really, really cool. They ended up selling it, or you know, the government now basically owns that area now, but they have a bunch of land basically on the other side of that ski lodge, and you could sort of see the lodge from her plot of land. And so she loves it there, and she's always had this dream of living there, and she's building this house, this beautiful little like log cabin house up there. And and it's just taking a little bit longer because just the weather and, you know, things are harder to get up there and people, you know, the inspectors, and it's just, it's a hassle. But she's such a badass and, you know, she's like doing things herself and freaking, she knows how to do everything, this woman. But anyway, so 3 out of the 4 months out of the year, she gets completely snowed in, and it's to the point where she can't even plow her own snow because she also does that. But it's just, it becomes too much to get up and down the mountain. And her house isn't done yet, so she's living in like this 200 square foot little, like, not even cabin, it's just like this tiny little hut thing. And she has like a little outhouse and everything, and she bathes herself with like a bucket of water. I mean, this woman is, I'm telling you, just the stories this woman has. So she basically is snowed in, and honestly, it's just really dangerous, and it's just no living conditions for her. So she comes out here, and we've been doing this now for, I think, 3 years. She comes out and lives with us for about 3 to 4 months out of the year. And, you know, it takes time to sort of get acclimated and whatnot, which is totally normal. But it's so nice to have her. And, you know, selfishly, we get to, like, go and do these quick little trips. And she's, like, more than happy to watch her. And honestly, I think probably prefers for us to be away sometimes, because I think when we're all together, Piper only wants to hang out with us. And it's like, Nana who? And then when we're gone, she gets all that time. to hang out with her. So it's really been so great. And honestly, it's such, I was telling her yesterday, I'm like, this is something that is priceless, because you get to know Piper and you get to one day when she's older say, I helped raise you. Like, I was there. I got to enjoy your, you know, your childhood. And not many can say that. So it's a really cool experience for everybody. And I got really lucky. I scored with my mother-in-law. Just a gem of a human. And she changed her life 2 years ago, has been sober. And she, like, is just, it's, she has such a success story. And, you know, she's been through a lot. So I'm going to have her on the podcast. I keep meaning to have her on, because she really is just such a sweet, sweet woman. So we'll do that in the next couple of weeks. But anyways, all right. So it was a long introduction, but it was just all to say really how thankful I am to be able to have them here. My mom came and, you know, I gave her basically a whole list of things. Granted, she had been with us for a while now, so she was sort of seeing our routine, our morning routine, and the things that we were giving her and feeding her and how we, you know, address certain situations and nighttime routines. And, you know, she was a little sick. So we basically got sick the day after Christmas with a stomach bug. I didn't get it, but Piper and Riley got it. Stomach bug hit, and that was like a solid week of just like disaster zone. And then we got hit with a sickness, and Piper woke up with, like, I think it's pink eye. I thought it was a double pink eye. Riley doesn't think it's pink eye, but it was gooey and crusty. Like, every 5 minutes it'd be gooey and crusty, and it was like glazed and red. What else could it be? I think Roberta was like, it could be like congestivitis. I don't know, something with the eye, but it's the same thing. It's pink eye. Got hit with that, which was no bueno. Well, she got hit first, and then she had the runny nose, and she had the cough, and she was like mild fever. And I mean, it was just like a mess. And then I got hit with it, and then Riley got hit with it. I don't know what Nana's doing, but Nana hasn't gotten hit with it. So we were down for the count for another week, and I was like, honestly, I don't know if we're gonna be able to go on this trip. And Riley's like, we're going on the trip. So I was like, all right, let's just keep on taking our medication. So we took it. I had a virtual consultation with Piper's doctor, and they had given her, they weren't sure if it was an ear infection because it was virtual, which is so annoying, these virtual consultations. But I had to get a negative COVID test if I wanted to take her in, and they couldn't see her. It was like a whole thing. So I was like, let's just do the virtual. Tell me what you think it is, and then we'll go from there. So they basically just gave her some over-the-counter stuff and then prescribed her some antibiotics in case she did have that earache and then it continued. And if her fever continued to spike, then it was most likely the ear infection. So anyways, so we have all this sort of going on, and we're like slowly getting a little better, like a couple days before the trip. And so I had basically written this whole manifesto for my mother-in-law of just like, okay, this is what you give her in the morning and the night, all the vitamins, whatever. It probably was a little excessive, but you know, it is what it is. So we finally wake up and we're feeling, the day before we felt good. It was like this weird thing that, like, once all the sickness went away, it was sort of like a morning, like it hit us in the morning and at night. And then through the day, we were fine. No coughing, no running, we were great. And then at night, we would just get like this, like, hideous, froggy sort of throat, cough, snotty. And it was only at night and the morning, but during the day, we were fine. So we thought, okay, we'll be good. The morning of the flight, which was, we had to be out of the house by 6:15, Riley woke up with pink eye. And we woke up still feeling a little, you know, with like the froggy throat, and we were like, fuck, man, well, let's just go. We're just going to throw a mask on, go. And we did, because it was like, it was one of those things that like we were fine during the day. It was just the morning and night. I don't know if that was the right call, but we did it anyways. So didn't get to say goodbye to Piper because she was sleeping. So we snuck out of the house, and then my mom ended up taking us to LAX, which is super nice because it's about an hour and 20 minutes from here. And then she, it was so weird. We flew to Mexico, to Loreto. So Loreto is, so basically, if you know where Cabo is down in Baja, Cabo's right at the bottom. And then right before Cabo is La Paz. And then right before La Paz is Loreto. And it's right on the coast right there. Super small, 20,000 people. Riley thought when he was like researching it and all that, he's like, this is going to be like the next Cabo in like 20 years. It's like a hidden gem because the water's great. And he was just like, this is going to be like the next thing. After going, I'll tell you my whole review on it, but let me just get back to this. So the way we found Loreto was because Riley was looking at his Alaska points. He had so many points. And he's like, let's see where Alaska flies. And Loretta was one of the places. And it was nonstop. And it was only an hour and a half away. So he thought, this is kind of cool. It's way faster than Cabo. Probably cheaper than Cabo. Because Cabo now is like astronomically high. And probably less touristy. And you know, he started researching it. There's amazing snorkeling spots. And the waters, you know, in certain spots are like turquoise and white beach sands and all that. So that's how we found it. And then we ended up using the points and you know, booking our flights and whatnot. So got to LAX. It's not through Tom Bradley. It's Terminal 6, which we didn't know. My mom dropped us off at Tom Bradley, and it was about three to four terminals down. So we had to make our way. Good thing we're 2 hours early. But made our way down there. And, of course, you know, had a couple cocktails, celebratory cocktails before getting on the flight. And then Riley was like, I wonder if they're going to have champagne on the flight. And I was like, well, no, you can buy it. And if we're in economy, he's like, we're in first class. I was like, oh, that's so nice. Cause something about Riley is that he hates flying first class. He doesn't think it's worth it for the money. Paris was a whole different thing because we got upgraded for like a super cheap price. But normally he'd rather spend, and he doesn't like spending a lot of money on hotels. He just feels like experiences and all that is way, and food and like restaurants is way worth it versus like the travel there and the hotel. Because he's in the hotel industry. So when he has to pay $500 a night, he's like, that's just not worth it. I'd rather just, you know, get a good price through Marriott's, you know, whatever his deals are, and stay at something that's nice, but not like astronomically nice for the amount of money. I don't know. That's his way of thinking. I disagree. I feel like that's sort of what makes the trip, right? Like, having a cool experience on the flight and like getting to a nice hotel room that's maybe on the water or has really cool amenities or I feel like that's sort of part of the whole experience, whatever. He will fight me about that till the death. So anyways, get on the flight, first class, which is really nice. But then I thought it was a 3 hour flight. I don't know why. And they're like, we'll be there in an hour and a half. I was like, oh, shit. That is real quick. Okay. So flight was super easy, like super, super easy. But our ears were popping because we were so sick. Well, you know, not so sick, but like sick enough to where like I couldn't hear anything. I was literally listening to myself the entire time. I was like, is that what I sound like? And he was talking to himself. We were talking, but honestly, we were only listening to ourselves. It was a very interesting landing. Get there. Airport is super small. You know, customs is right next to the baggage claim. That's right next to the, like, it's all right there. It's so tiny, but so easy. honestly. So easy to get in and out through there. And we had requested for our car to pick us up from, like, we had a hotel car pick us up. So I just planned that in advance. That way we weren't dealing with, you know, where their taxis were there. I knew it was going to be a much smaller place. So I was just unsure of that, and I didn't want to be stranded. So, or get, you know, completely screwed. So we were, the hotel from the airport is about 40 minutes away. We stayed at Villa del Palmar. And I want to say that it was $90 for a one way airport to hotel. Get there, get in the car. Of course, we grabbed a cerveza. We grabbed a little beer for the road. Get in the car and then head out. And I will say, so from the airport, about 10 minutes away is a little town. It's called El Pueblo. Their little town. Super small, super cute. I will say a lot of things in retrospect, I would have probably shifted our trip a little bit, but here we go. So we went straight to the hotel, Villa del Palmar, and it is, like I said, 40 minutes away. And on the drive there, there's really nothing around. It is desert. It felt like Arizona desert. And apparently it gets just as hot out there in the summertime. So drive out there, and there is the hotel basically like on its own. It's sort of in the middle of nowhere. And I will say Laredo is very undeveloped. But as I was driving there, our driver was so kind, only spoke Spanish, but was telling me that back, because I asked him, I was like, do you think Cabo, and as a, by the way, I was Riley's translator the entire time. But I was asking them if Laredo, if they think that Laredo will end up being touristy like Cabo, like the next Cabo. And he said it'll be like a sliver of what Cabo is, only because in 2015 they were sort of they announced that Laredo is sort of like a holy place because of like their missions and how old they are, and just because it's holy, like a holy land, it's untouchable. So I think whatever is going to be developed and people who have access to develop and buy homes and whatever, that's it. There is certain parts of it that can never be developed on. The land cannot get developed on. So therefore it will stay sort of true to whatever, however it is now, and a small development in the future. So for them, it's okay. I mean, they basically, their economy is just pure tourism, but they don't seem worried about it. It is the safest place in Mexico. I think that the people love that it's small and it's safe and everyone knows each other, and they are the most incredible people out there, I will say. So sweet. Anyway, so we get to our hotel and you know, get greeted by sweet people who just, you know, you have basically like one concierge that's going to take care of you for the whole time. We had really only planned golf for one day. So they have one of the best golf courses in the world. It's number 7 in the world. Insane. It's beautiful golf course. And so we had planned that for day 2 of the trip. So we got checked in, escorted to our room, which was, you know, really nice, and had views of the water. And I will say it was very quiet. So let's just get to the meat of it. Very quiet. It was a little eerie how quiet it was. Granted, it was a Monday, and granted, we went around the slowest time of the year, which was January. And they had just expanded. That hotel had just expanded. I think it's about 328 rooms, I think he said. 300 and some rooms. And because they just built sort of that second, they had like one whole building. They just built like a whole second expansion to it. So, but still, very, very quiet, not a lot of people, maybe 100 occupants max. And they were all retirees, all older, probably like 55 and older, maybe even 65 and older. A lot of like 70s, just people. Yeah. And a lot of members. So you can basically be a member for the hotel, and have access to, this hotel, plus I think all their other properties, because they have a bunch of properties like in Puerto Vallarta and other places. But, so yeah, definitely an older crowd, and just, again, really, really quiet. So we were like, interesting. And mind you, we were deaf. We were, a little tired and out of it. And we got there around like 2:30. And we had already had sort of a beer on the way. So we were like a little tired. So we go up to our room and we pass out. We pass out for like 3 hours. I mean, it was perfect. Being with retirees was perfect for us this trip. All we did was have 6 p.m. meals, and we were in bed by 7:45 latest, and literally sleeping the entire night, and then woke up at like 7:30 and had like breakfast by 8 or 8:30. Like, literally, like, the retiree life is going to be great. I love the retired life. I mean, it was a little boring, but I do love going to sleep early and eating early and all that. So that day was sort of squashed because we slept and then woke up and went to dinner. So the first night we went to their main restaurant, which is like their fine dining, and it's called Danzante Fine Dining. More expensive. It's like a seafood and grill. And you have some views of the water. It's really pretty. But the food was super lackluster. Like, not great. Like, no bueno at all. I think our meal was like maybe $200, $175, something like that. And that was only 2 cocktails and a lamb, a steak, a salad, and a soup. So still very pricey, and but just really not great. It's unfortunate. Like, it was a steak, and then like the veggies looked like they were out of a can, like that. It was like no bueno. And everything was super under seasoned, so everything in the resort had to be seasoned. So that was our first night, which is sort of a bummer. And I was like, I mean, we weren't expecting much because we know it was a small town, but, and like, it wasn't like reading the reviews of Loretto. It wasn't like, oh, this is like a foodie area. So, you know, for us, food's a big deal wherever we go, but we had low expectations. But the staff was incredible. They literally were like, hello, Mr. Riley and Mrs. Natalie. I was like, oh my God, you're so cute. So super sweet. 10 out of 10 on the service. Food, unfortunately, was sort of a miss. And then and they had a Michael Jackson night that night. So as we were walking back to our room, it reminded me, because they have in like these resorts like this. It reminded me because we used to go to like Acapulco and Puerto Vallarta a lot when we were younger. And in resorts like this, like sort of all-inclusive resorts, they would have a whole team that would basically like sit, like they would perform, like they would have during the day they would go to the pool and they would do like pool activities, and then they would do a show at night, and they were just like the entertainment for the hotel. And so I laugh because normally, you know, the waiter is also the cook who's also the performer, and like, because that's like how we were raised, like that was it, you know. He was like cook, like bringing us drinks to the thing and then performing for us and then like play, you know. It's just, that's like what they do. Here it was just entertainment. So the entertainment crew was there every day, every night, the same crew. They were doing Michael Jackson one night, then they were doing traditional like Mexican dance the next night, and then they were doing they were the singers, like they were everything. It was so cute. And so I think we saw like 5 seconds of the Michael Jackson. We were like, we're tired. Let's just go back to our room. Went back to our room, passed out. And then next day, we had golf that next day. So we were like, okay, this is our day. Day two is going to be our day. So get up. We go down to, it's called the market, which is like where they have like more like Mexican food. And they sort of switch it up, but they have a menu and then a buffet. By the way, are these details boring? I don't know. I got a lot of questions about Loretto. So I'm just really like deep diving into our experience. That way you just have it all here. So if this is not fun for you at all, I apologize. We have breakfast there and we did the buffet, which I have to say, the buffet was quite impressive. The amount of food that they had, the options that they had, fresh tortillas and a plethora of salsas and eggs. And you can even have quesadillas with like, you know, eggs or meat or whatever in it, like fresh rice and beans, like really good food. Chilaquiles, which chilaquiles are basically tortillas with sauce on them. And then you add eggs with a little sour cream, a little cheese, a little onion, maybe a little cilantro if you're into that, a little a salsa. It's just really good. It's all about the sauce. So they had all of that. So we grubbed, obviously, fresh, you know, fruits, café de la olla, which is my favorite. It's basically coffee from, I'm blanking, it's like their, from la olla, ¿cómo se dice la olla? Oh my gosh. It's like their, like the Mexican sort of jars, right? Is a jar? Oh my God. All my Mexican people are going to be like, what? So it's like really sweet, delicious coffee. Oh my God. So good. You could just drink it black. You're not supposed to put anything in it. Did that. We went straight to the golf course from there. So they basically take you up in a golf cart up into the mountains. And then they basically give you your, you know, all your stuff, your golf cart, your clubs, sunblock, everything you need. They have everything. I think golf is very expensive, by the way. I think all in, it was about $300 per person to golf. Originally, I was going to golf with him. It's 18 holes, which takes about 4 hours. Mind you, I know nothing about golf. Okay. He loves to golf. He goes golfing about twice a month. And his back is actually doing a lot better, by the way. For none of you that are asking. So got set up there. Oh, and then I decided, I was like, this is so expensive and I don't even golf and it's going to take us 8 hours if I end up golfing. Like, I'll just go with you. I'll be your little golf bitch and just like ride around, get us cocktails. I'll maybe hit a couple balls here and there. And that's it. That's all I really need to do. I'll be the DJ. It was perfect. So ended up canceling mine the morning of, and then get up there and grab a cocktail, get in our little golf cart. The weather was perfect. It was like 73, but like in the sun, it felt like 85. And then just like cruise around, went from one hole to the next. And honestly, it was beautiful. It was so gorgeous. Riley was just Tiger Woodsing it. All 9 holes, the first 9 holes at least, and then went to the back 9, and he also crushed it. First day he did so well. I posted a bunch of videos. I'm gonna do a highlight so you guys can go back and look at everything. But he hit one into the sand and then like putted it out, whatever the verbiage is, putted it out, made it right in the hole. I mean, woof, guy did so well. I hit a couple holes. And by hit a couple balls, I hit no balls. I mean, I awful, absolutely awful. I'm just not good. And, you know, it's funny though, because I had golfed one time before and I actually crushed it. I was so good. And And then the times that Riley would videotape me this time, I collapsed. It was awful. And then the other times, I actually didn't do terribly. He thinks I could actually be very good, but, you know, it's fine. Definitely not taking that up as a sport. But it is very fun to just, like, go cruise around, put some music on, have a couple drinks. You know, it's just, scenic-wise, it's just so fun. It's so cool. So, that was day two. And then after that, we took about 4 hours. And then hole number 17 is incredible. It's literally right on the water, overlooking the water. It feels like a Crystal Cove in Newport Beach, if you've ever seen it. It feels like that. And the owner, who Riley the entire time was like, I want to meet the owner. He has a house right on the golf course, and he's selling it for $9 million. Oh my gosh. Who is going to buy that? There's nothing around the hotel. Nothing. $9 million. That's crazy. So did that. Oh, and then he's selling it to build a house right on hole number 17. And it's literally right on the water, this lot. Quite stunning, I have to say. So finish that, go to the golf clubhouse, have a little lunch, and then we go downstairs and what did we do after that? Oh, we got in the hot tub, which was also looking at the water. I will say, the water there at the hotel was very calm and very shallow, and definitely not turquoise. It was not what the photos were, because what I found out was that turquoise water is basically on the islands. There are about 5 islands there that you can go to. If you rent a boat, which we didn't do, I'm super sad we didn't, but we tried to book it too late. By the time we booked it, there was too high of winds, and they were fully booked, and they were not going to do an afternoon boat tour because of the winds. But apparently it's called Island Coronado, and that's where you basically can pack up a picnic, pack up food and drinks, and you go over there, and it's white sand, turquoise waters, and you can snorkel, you can just get in the, it's just apparently it's supposed to be beautiful. And then what my driver told me also was that in February they have a festival, a blue whale festival, and it's basically when all the blue whales are swimming by, and they have this big party. And before, you can obviously touch the whales and do all that, but you can't do that anymore. But you can see them, and apparently it's the most beautiful thing ever. So look into it if you guys are interested in doing that. It's in February. The Blue Whale Festival in Loreto on, I think, the island of Coronado. So they said that we have to do that at some point in our life. So we were in the hot tub. And we went from the hot tub down, because basically they have like beach access from the hotel. So you walk down to the beach, and they have a really cool little bar restaurant, because I think you can order food there as well. Bunch of lawn chairs. You can kayak from there. You can rent all that stuff. But again, super small, super mellow. I think there was like maybe 6 people on that beach. So, and actually surprisingly, a lot of little kids. We didn't bring Piper this time because she was A, sick, and B, always gets sick on trips. And then honestly, when I had called, they were like, unless like your child's like 4 years and older, there's more for them to do. But other than that, there's really not a lot of things for them to do, because they have like a kid's clubhouse, but it's from like 4 to 9 or something. So she was like just a little too young for that, too young to go kayaking, like too young to do all these things. So we thought, you know what, let's just leave her. We'll go explore it. And then if we love it enough, we'll not only bring her back, we can bring back the whole family and the kids and everything. So day two, finally for us, we were like, okay, it's mellow. We like it. Now we're sort of starting to like not be so anxious, because we're sort of like go, go, go people. So we were sort of starting to like appreciate the mellowness and the quietness and the calmness of the resort and of the water and everything. Like everything was just like quiet. It was just weird. And like, we had done that at Rancho Valencia, down in San Diego, which is actually when I got pregnant with Piper, TMI. But there they had like yoga, like classes, and they had all these things, which they do actually have that in the gym here, but it was just a different vibe. There is more like a wellness type of, hotel. And here in Loretto, it was just a little different. So, so did that, went down to the beach, again, got a little cocktail, hung out, laid out, relaxed, and then went back to the room, got ready, had dinner, and they were having Mexican night that night. So we went back to that same market and had dinner there. And it was, also buffet, a lot of buffets for us. And that buffet also was fantastic. It was really, really good. The food was a little, again, unsalted, and just missing a little bit of love, the food, but like the options, and for, you know, having such, I feel like, little access to, just like import outports, I would say, like, it, I was really impressed with the quality of the food and how many options they had. They had corn on the cob, like the Mexican corn on the cob, right? Where they put like the mayo and the cheese and the chili and like the lime, like the real authentic, Mexican corn. It was so good. They had tamales. They had, again, an array of salsas. It's so funny. Riley went and like put some chips like in the center of the plate, and then put like the tiniest of servings of all the different salsas. There's probably like 10 salsas. And like, so he's like, we'll do a salsa tasting. Oh my God, what a loser. But it was actually ended up being a lot of fun, because we just like tasted each one and like burnt the shit out of our mouths with some of them. Our nose was running. I mean, we looked like we were just like hyperventilating, but it was actually very good. Delicious. Different salsas. And he's opening up a Mexican restaurant in the next 2 years. So he's concepting everything, from the food to the design to everything. So he's just getting really inspired by, you know, Mexican cuisine and just like where it comes from and like the authenticity of it and the history and the story behind it. And so this is the first trip of many to Mexico. He's actually leaving to Oaxaca, which is like basically the food capital. And it's where every, Michelin chef, you name it, the best chefs in the world have gone to Oaxaca to learn basically how. There's this one lady, I'm digressing a little bit, but there's this one lady in Oaxaca who has taught every best chef how to make the best tortillas. And it's one lady, and you got to like know someone to know her to like get access to her. But Riley, not this trip, but the next trip, is meeting with her to learn how to make the best tortillas. This guy's going to be more Mexican than me by the end of the year, I swear. I have to just teach him Spanish now, and then I swear he's going to be like just killing it. So the food was great, and then that was it. Again, we're so boring. After dinner, went back to bed, not like did nothing. I talk about this all the time, but if your New Year's goal, you know, is to manage your budget better and save money, then you need Rocket Money. So Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Look, I know for us, we are trying to really stay within budget, and budget for us has been like a new thing, kind of, where we're just really like writing out everything that we're spending money on, you know, trying to save money. And Rocket Money will help you do that. Over 80% of people have subscriptions that they completely forgot about. And that's where, like, you know, those random, you know, 20 bucks here, 50 bucks there, like that all adds up. And there's no need to do that. So I know for me, when I told Riley about this, he was like, Heck yes. This is what we've needed. I need just a place to be able to go into and see what we're spending money on. All the subscriptions, you can cancel them if you want right then and there. It basically does it all for you in one stop. Look, over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving an average person up to $720 a year. That stuff adds up, okay? So stop throwing away your money. Okay, cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/humble. That's rocketmoney.com/humble. rocketmoney.com/humble. And then the next day, mind you, we're like fine during the day and then again sick at night and sick in the morning, which is also the reason why I think we were just like ready to go to bed. But the next day we had nothing planned. So we like called around. We're like, okay, like, do we go into town? Do we get on a boat? Riley was like, I mean, we could go golf again. We could do a spa, go on a hike. There's like, you know, that was sort of the plethora of things to do and the extent of things to do is what I mean. Cause you can go like snorkeling and kayaking, but the water was really cold. So we didn't really want to get in the water, but we thought maybe if we get on a boat and go explore the islands and all that, it'd be really pretty to see. But that was not in the cards for us this time. But I have heard a lot of people say that it's the best thing to do. A lot of you guys wrote in that you guys love doing that. So we thought, you know what, going into town was 40 minutes out of the way and we really didn't know it was in town. And we thought, let's go golf one more time because Riley was obsessed with the golf course, and then go get a spa treatment, go get a massage, go relax his muscles. And, you know, his back was getting a little tight again. So we thought, let's go golfing again, go to the spa, go have dinner. And then the last day before going to the airport, we can spend the whole day in town, in El Pueblito, and, you know, go walk around, go have lunch because it's like only 10 minutes away from the airport. And then we could sort of say that we've sort of touched on it all. And that's what we did. And honestly, it was great. The third day was very, very windy. So golf was different. But honestly, Riley was like, I kind of like that it's windy. It sort of changes the landscape. Like now the trees are blowing differently. The water's moving. Like, it just sort of makes you feel like you're in a different environment, weirdly. So we were really, really just like one with nature that day. After that, went to the spa. The spa was fantastic, I have to say. We did a couples massage, and you have an hour access within the spa. And so what I love about Mexico is that they are so like guest oriented, and they love just like catering the guest and taking care of them and pampering them. It's something that I feel like the US lacks a little bit. But over there for them, it's like all about the service. And so we go our separate ways in the spa. They were having a deal for two. I want to say it was like two massages for like $280 massages for $280. Okay. And so we go our separate ways, and the lady was like, do you want to, she's like, here's your robe, here's your thing. She's like, do you want me to guide you through the spa experience, or would you like to do it yourself? And I was like, oh, you can guide me. That's great. So she's like, okay, great. So she's like, I'm going to have you rinse off, and then I'll take you through. So I basically rinsed off my body, and then she was like, okay, you're going to sit in the, you're going to sit in this jacuzzi for 5 minutes, and then I'll come back, and then I'm going to take you through each thing and walk you through it. So it was the jacuzzi for a few minutes, and then it was in the sauna with some cucumbers and a cold towel for about 10 minutes. And then from there you rinse off, and then you go into the steam room for a few minutes. And then from the steam room, you go in, there's like a process to it. And then from the steam room, you go into the cold plunge, which I did very well. And Riley's obsessed with the cold plunge. It's like, it's really in right now. Everyone's doing it. All the health benefits are there. Really, really great thing to do on a daily basis. So I was in there for about 2 minutes. Because once like you actually like zen out, the cold plunge is, I mean, just freaking Awesome. Then from there, you go into a hotter jacuzzi, which feels like your skin's falling off. It's quite lovely. And then from there, you go into the bath salts, aloe vera bath salts situation. So you basically get into a tub and she throws in all the salts, throws in aloe vera, and then she rubs aloe vera all over your body, all over your face, like just really gets in there. I'm like, okay, this is very intimate. But she said that it's fantastic for your skin and all those things. So then from there, you go rinse off, and then we had our massages. Super lovely, super great. I squealed about 3 times. It's so funny during like couples massages, like I'm always worried I'm going to like just let one rip, you know, on accident. And it's just like, everyone's going to know it's me and it's embarrassing. And I'm just like mortified. So I'm like, but then after a while, I just sort of forget. And I don't doze off because it's normally very painful to get massages. I have a lot of knots in my back, but, yeah, always on like high alert. You know what I mean? Just like making sure that like nothing's coming out. Nothing. But I definitely squealed many of times because she really got into my back knots. But had a great, beautiful moment there, and then got dressed, and then we went to dinner at the Italian restaurant, which is called Casa Mia. And during the day, that's for members only. At night, it's an Italian restaurant. Anyways, dinner was fine. It really was not, wasn't great, but it was good. They did have one experience where you can get a Mexican coffee, but like on fire. And they basically, it has like tequila, Bailey's, the coffee, a little whipping cream, and they light it on fire, and it's a really cool experience. That was very cool. Went back to our bed, fell asleep. Next day, woke up, packed, had a little breakfast, and then went into town to El Pueblito, or El Pueblo, and we went to La Farmacia, which is the pharmacy. And he's like, there's 2 pharmacies. One, which is the one that you need like prescriptions for, or the other one that you don't need prescriptions for. And we went to the one that you didn't need prescriptions for. They have everything. They have everything from Prozac to antibiotics to freaking like Viagra. I mean, they have everything. And you can buy it all. I think we spent about $160, but we got muscle relaxers for his back, a bunch of ointments, like topical ointments. I did get an antibiotic just to have on hand just in case, because we're Mexican like that and that's what we do. And like a few stronger ibuprofens, like a bunch of stuff. It was so cool. And I was like, why are people not going to Mexico and buying all this shit more often? Because here it would cost a fortune. So walked around. The little pueblo is very cute. Very cute. There's like a couple streets, really not much. A couple streets, bunch of like little restaurants and bars, like this little area that you can basically walk up and like almost like their little pier. And you basically walk up and down, and there's like, it's like on the water. It's just really, really pretty. And again, look, it's Mexico, right? Like it's not glamorous, guys. This is not like, you know, a developed place. Like this is still a little like rustic and just really authentic though. And everyone is so freaking sweet. Everyone's so nice. So we thought, we had been hearing about this place called El Rey de Tacos. Okay. The King of Tacos. Well, it's actually El Rey de Taco, the King of Taco, the Taco King. And we had heard about it, and we thought, you know what, we have to go. So there was a few places that people said to go to. One was Mi Loreto. That's one restaurant people said that they love. Los Olivos restaurant at the Mission. They have some beautiful missions, some like the oldest missions, 300 years old, and really beautiful places like to walk around, I have to say. And then the El Rey de Taco. So we were like, you know what, let's just find this place. And our driver was like, let me just tell you where it's at, 'cause it's sort of like off the beaten path. 'Cause remember, the town is very small. So it was basically like there's like one main street, and then it was like you make a right and then you make a quick left and it's like right there. He's like, it's always packed. There's only two of them working, so there's sort of a wait, but they have really big, delicious tacos. We're like, all right, let's go. So we went. Sure enough, very long wait, but they are hustling, man. They are making fresh lime juice. They're making fresh fish tacos, fried fish tacos. They're sauteing everything. They're cooking everything. The salsas are fresh. It smelt divine. But yes, took a very long time to get our food. We almost were going to have to leave without getting fed because our flight was, they wanted us there 2 hours early and everything. And so, we were on a time crunch, but, ended up eating the tacos. And I will say they were like a 7.5 out of 10. Not as great. I've had a lot of tacos in my life, a lot of Mexican tacos. These were just not it. Good, better than honestly a lot of the food that we had had at the resort, but just not great. But I will say it's probably the best taco probably on land, right? Like there, but I wouldn't like, I'm not dreaming of them. You know what I mean? Anyways, so that's pretty much it. And then we just got ourselves back in the car, 10 minutes down to the airport. The airport is super tiny. I took a video of it. There's literally only three little gates and you have to like walk out of the airport onto the plane because there's no like real gates for them to pull up. They sort of just like, there's only three flights a day. It's so funny. We were sitting at the bar inside the airport and the guy, and I was like, how many flights are come out of here? And he's like, only three. I was like, wow. So you really don't have to work a lot, huh? And he's like, no, I love it. It's like, I'm here maybe 4 or 5 hours a day. So it was, but overall it was really great. Would I go back again? I don't think so, guys. I'm going to say it. Not that it wasn't fantastic, but I feel like there's so many more places to go explore. I do love that it's only an hour and a half away, nonstop. I really appreciate that. But I feel like it's not, I'm not jumping to go back is all I'm going to say. Maybe if we have like some downtime and it's, you know, quick and easy and we want to get away for a little bit, maybe, but not a place that I'm like dying to go back to or that I would take my whole family to. I don't know. I'm going to say that. But again, super lovely, super safe. And I highly recommend going and experiencing it. That's for sure. I will say when we were boarding the flight, there was a girl with her two little babies. One was probably 2.5. The other one was like maybe 8 months. And instead of having a stroller, she had a wagon. And I was like, that's genius. It was a wagon that basically folded up. And it was like she had all her stuff in it. She had all her bags, put the baby in there, put the little one and the big one, and then just like wheeled them through. And I was like, right. Genius. And then when it folds up, it's super flat and tiny and like not a hassle. And I was like, why are we over here overthinking this stroller thing and like having to collapse it and carry it? And like, it's genius. Maybe I'm really late to the game, but I feel like it was definitely the way to go. All right. That was Loretto. I know I went into the nitty gritty details of this trip. Also, for all the other TMI stuff, I'm hoping we get pregnant. We definitely had, you know, our nice intimate moments. And I will say Riley and I connected and it was very beautiful. Not like sexually, like obviously sexually, but like emotionally. And we had this conversation that like a lot of moments where we're like we always fall so in love with each other on these trips. But I had a moment where I was like, it's interesting how I feel like I didn't even know you back then. Like when we had Piper and like all of that for me, I feel like I didn't even know him. I don't know. Obviously we did things a little backwards, you know, I only knew him a year before I got pregnant, but I just feel like if we were to get pregnant again now, it would be a whole different experience. Like, I feel like him and I are so in love and we're so in sync and we're so connected that it's going to be so much, I hate to say it, but even more magical to go through this process with him. And it's funny because, you know, again, TMI, but like having sex when you're pregnant, it's like not the sexiest thing, you know? And like, there's some men that like are super into it and like find a woman so attractive. And then there's some that are, that don't, you know? And I always said Riley was the type that wasn't. And I also didn't feel sexy. But again, because I feel like maybe because we weren't as connected, like we weren't as in, like, not as in love, you know what I mean? And so, this time he was, I was like, do you think that me being pregnant this time, like you're going to find it more attractive, like because we're connected? And he's like, honestly, I think so. Like, I think this time around, he's like, it may just be like a whole different experience. I don't know. Maybe I'm not articulating it correctly, but we just had this like really intense moment of like looking each other's eyes. I think it was like on the flight, to be honest with you. And he's like, I just am so in love with you. He's like, and I can't wait to be even more in love with you in like the next 10 years. Like, and be even more in sync. I don't know. It's just a really, really beautiful, just a lot of beautiful moments. And, you know, I think that we can get lost in the day-to-day shuffle of life, because I feel like him and I had sort of been a little disconnected because he'd just been working so much and, you know, being sick for 2 weeks and just like the craziness, like Piper was home and she wasn't in school. And I was like dying for her to get back to school, because I was like, oh my God, like the days are so long. Like, I love you, kid, but like, being sick and like just having to like entertain her, it was just a lot. So looked forward to getting back in the routine, but also I was looking forward to this trip to like connect with him again. Cause this is like when we just really, I feel like, are in sync, you know? And I think that you need to be in sync in order to sort of come back into the craziness of the world and remember like perspective on what matters. And just like how attractive we are to each other and like how in love we are, how in love with each other, like we are, and like how, like our future plans, like the shit that we want to accomplish, and just like all of that. It's just so important. I feel like I always say this after we come back from a trip, like if you guys are feeling like a little disconnected from your partner or whatever, like just plan something, be spontaneous, get someone to watch your kids, like just plan it. Even if it's for like 24 hours, get away. Like I am a different, vacation Natalie is so different than day-to-day Natalie. I feel more confident on vacation. I feel sexier on vacation. I feel way more chill, less, OCD and less like anxious. And, you know, I feel like when I'm at home, I am constantly picking up, cleaning in this zone. Like I don't take care of myself as much, like as far as like looks wise. Like I don't feel as great. I feel like I'm not, I don't know. There's something about vacation mode that I'm like, I need to bring this back home. I need to feel sexier at home. I need to like get myself together and just be a little bit less neurotic and like be more chill and go with the flow. And like, I love vacation, Natalie. I'm a good time. And I feel like I want to be a good time at home all the time. So I just gotta like, it's just a good reminder. So maybe you guys need that, right? A little just like vacation you know, bring that home. All right. I love you all. I'm going to have a second episode, this week because I didn't have one last week for you. So stay tuned for another episode this week. I love you all. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting. If you haven't, please just go give me a little 5-star click. You don't even have to write anything. I mean, if you do, that'd be fantastic. But you don't have to. And a quick 5-star under Apple Podcasts, just go in there, give me a quick little click. It means everything to me. It's the only way that I can keep doing this. I really have had so many negative thoughts the past few weeks of just like, maybe I should stop the podcast. Maybe it's done. Maybe I'm done talking. Maybe no one's interested. You know, it's like all the negative shit that like goes through your mind of like, I'm not good enough, you know, all those things. And I just feel like I got to get out of my head. I read this book. I'm reading this book. by I'm reading. I literally just opened the book today and I read the first three pages, but I'm already hooked, and I'm going to talk to you guys about that next week, or not next week, next podcast, this week. But I need to start changing the way that I'm thinking, because it's so important and it's going to make or break me, and I can already feel it. Because I was going down a deep, dark path in my head, and it was not, the chain reactions were not good, right? I wasn't motivated. I wasn't good enough. And I think that's like the worst thing that you can do to yourself. So I just feel like a little rejuvenated coming back from this trip, and I need to maintain that. I need to continue that. It's like that post New Year's adrenaline, right? Everyone's like, I want to make a change. And then, you know, a month into it, you're like, huh? What change? You're like the same person. It's just like those small little things that I have to start doing, because I'm getting really, really negative in my thoughts, and I need to change that. So, you know, I took a hiatus sort of from Instagram. I was just not 100% myself. I feel like I was a raging bitch the past month. And again, I just need to like center myself and get my shit together and know that I'm not crazy. I'm not alone. And we're going to be good. We're going to be good. So, that was all coming from give me a 5-star. that was not trying to make you feel bad. Not a pity party, just an honest party over here. Anyways, that's all for today. I love you all. Thank you again for being here. Remember guys, stay humble, stay hungry, and I will see you all again this week. All right. Bye guys.